Hey, fellow Freedom fans, back here with the Faith and Freedom Show. David Allen Carmichael, as you heard Bethany say. You heard the phone number, and that's great. I'm glad you heard that, too. And you can check us out online at faithfreedoms.org. Get on board Liberty Works Radio Network. Somebody emailed the other day. It was a guy named Scott Loper, and we've had him on this show. I had him on a show I had in Virginia Broadcasting. He was a guy who was taken off to Canada and put in the Hoosegow because, well, he was living in Canada because he discovered that his next-door neighbors were partnering with the local police department to sell drugs. Police were finding out who was selling drugs from the guy's next-door neighbor. He would tell the police who was selling drugs. They would go capture the person, and they would take their 8 ounces of cocaine. And when they would turn them in, they say, this guy's charged with possession of 1 ounce of cocaine. So is a guy going to complain when 7 pounds are missing and he's only going to get a slap on the wrist? No, they're not going to complain. And what the police were doing was then turning it over to this other guy who was distributing it. And they were all making money and involved in lots of criminal behavior. He started monitoring what was going on, and he was discovered. Next thing you knew, they used the power of the sword and lied. Of course, if they're going to sell drugs and do stuff like that, they'll kind of lie on their affidavits explaining what this guy had done and explain that he was doing crazy things, was threatening his wife and do all this kind of stuff. And they put him in prison for violating a court order that he didn't know existed. So it's kind of strange, but true. He's taken off and put in a Canadian prison. And then he was finally ejected out of that prison when a story broke that when the government found out that there was this corruption going on at very high levels at a certain part of Canada, and suddenly he was whisked out of jail and dumped at the U.S. border. And so we covered his story here on the Liberty Works Radio Network. We just got word that he's going to be on a Fox News show here next week and possibly others. So that's what we're doing here with the Liberty Works Radio Network. We're exposing things that are important. A lot of people don't think, well, why is this? It's just some heckler weird story. No, it matters. And his point that he made when we were interviewing him was, if we can't get Canada, good old Canada, to honor a U.S. treaty that says when you capture somebody and put them in jail, you notify their consulate. You tell the country, the leader, the State Department of that country, we have one of your guys here in our Hoosegow. Because maybe it'll protect an American from being tortured until he finally tells where all his little audio tapes are stored, and then being tortured until you finally give in, and then put you off in prison, and basically with no hope of getting out. It was kind of insane, but it happened here first on Liberty Works Radio Network. We brought it to you. So you may be hearing more of it in the national news. But that's another story. I want to get back to this thing. Just before the break, we had a quote from Ronald Reagan, and he was talking about socialized medicine. And he said it was really, this struggle's been going on, and really it's a takeover, a statist mentality, a statist worldview that is as old as Babel, a statist worldview that would make man your great benefactor, a man and his power to create and make a government, so to speak, power of the sword, to take and control everything. And I don't know, it's wanting to be God is what it is. That's ultimately, when I review this, it goes back to the wanting to be God-ism. And there was a certain entity that was influencing man from the beginning to have this heart to be, want to be like God. So that's what's going on. So that's a status thing. It's a worldview issue. It's a outward indicator of an inward spiritual problem. And I'll tell you what, when you see some of this stuff and you go, where are these people's intellect? How come they're not rational? Well, it's because it's being influenced by something else. These people didn't just evolve. They have a greater capability than mere impulses and instincts. But that's a little trivia for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this statement from the current president of the United States. And it gives an indicator, though you might hear in one conversation, oh, this is just going to be a government option. This is just going to be an option. Everybody's going to still going to be a free country. But here's an option that we're making available to you. And so let's see what Mr. Obama, the President of the United States, has to say about his view of what the government's role should be with regard to health care, health insurance, and the like.
But I don't think we're going to be able to eliminate employer coverage immediately. There's going to be potentially some transition process. I can envision a decade out, or 15 years out, or 20 years out.
I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care plan. A single-payer health care plan. Universal health care plan. That's what I'd like to see.
I think if we get a good public option, it could lead to single-payer, and that's the best way to reach single-payer.
And next to me was a guy from the insurance company who then argued against the public health insurance option, saying it wouldn't let private insurance compete, that a public option will put the private insurance industry out of business and lay off the payer.
Nobody is talking about some government takeover of healthcare.
So that is what President Obama is saying. Nobody's talking about government takeover of healthcare. One of the statements he made. So what we have to do is we have to listen to what's being said and connect the dots. In an interview, an older interview, he said that he says, well, we can't eliminate employer coverage of healthcare immediately, but we're going to. In other words, this is a foot in the door. The other thing that he mentioned, it there was a video clip there of an older, a couple of years ago, where he says he was an advocate of a single-payer healthcare system. And you say, what is a single-payer healthcare system? What it is, and it's, again, healthcare, and we're going to come back after this segment. I'm going to talk about this article from this Wall Street Journal report, or op-ed, by a very successful businessman who's now getting his customers leaving him, some of them. He might even gain customers because he's making statements against this whole idea of statist move toward using healthcare as a mechanism to control. What he said there was a single-payer healthcare system. In other words, what that means is there's a single pot of money controlled by the government or a quasi-government agency that's set up, and then, of course, is a little bit harder to hold accountable. But that single-payer system will pay your doctor. That means that your doctor is going to have to do to you, whether it's paperwork that you fill out or scheduling or anything else, he's going to have to require you to abide by what he's being required to require of you. So if you don't like, I mean, I'll get to what that could possibly mean because I see it playing out in other things right now. But that means that they're going to tell your doctor when he gives you a $250 service that he can only get $100 for it. Now, it may put him out significantly. It very well may put him out significantly, but he's only going to be able to charge you that amount that the government says. The other thing is, it may be only able to provide a certain service. Oh, what are you? Let's have a checklist. Are they over 90? Do they have a broken hip? Do they have cancer? Do they have kidney problems? Okay, well then, no, you can't have this other surgery. This other surgery, because you are taking too much of the healthcare money for you who don't have a huge amount of productivity left in your lifetime. And you say, that's all make-believe. It is not make-believe. It's not make-believe. I'm going to go to something that President Obama said with regard to those who are terminally ill and the thing I've just talked about. He says, this is where we get into some very difficult moral issues. This was this April 14th. He said, the chronically ill and those toward the end of their lives are accounting for potentially 80% of the total healthcare bill out there. So what? See what he's, you know, and our Patrick Gibson, just before I came online, Patrick was saying, how are they can't answer this question. How are they going to save money? How are they going to have more people covered and have less cost? How are they going to do it? They haven't explained it. Well, they did explain it. The way they explained it is, the 80% who are getting or having to be the total health care bill, 80% of the health care bill can be nipped in the bud by not providing that 80% of health care to those who are currently getting it. That is the way the beans line up. There's a bean count involved here. There is a worldview that believes that doesn't see you, from my basis, a biblical world is a non-biblical worldview, a non-created in the image of God, having intrinsic eternal value, being a significant being. You know, and again, the biblical worldview is those, the least of these are the ones we're supposed to be taking care of, not the stronger members, because they don't need us. They don't need the government. They don't need your help. So really what this is it's a funding stream. It's a funding stream. We come back again. I'm going to quote something. I'm going to quote somebody quoting Margaret Thatcher with regard to the statist way of handling government. Our number here is 888-850-1872. It's 888-850-1872. Somebody, and again, the last couple of days we heard something, somebody had an article that they were reading about the Duggar family, who's got 18 kids and a grandchild on the way and things like that. And somebody was complaining that they were creating too much of a diaper hazard and thing like that. But just prior to that, I mentioned an article that came from a study from the Oregon State University. And a few weeks before that, going to India Daily Times, I found the Secretary of State saying in a discussion with India over this carbon thing, this carbon deal, this carbon treaty issue, this global attack on carbon, is the Secretary of State said to the Prime Minister with regard to environmental things in India that, hey, you know what? Population is something we really need to look at with regard to this carbon issue. You know what? A population increase has a significant impact on the amount of carbon that shows up in the atmosphere. And she was very concerned. And then a few weeks later, we have this study from the statisticians at Oregon State University saying that having a child has an impact that far outweighs other energy-saving behaviors. So now not having a child is a energy-saving behavior. Clearly, the potential savings from reduced reproduction are huge compared to the savings that can be achieved by changes in lifestyle. Of course, nobody's going to pay your Social Security bill, though, are they? And I'd say forget Social Security. Let's do it the old school way. Honor your father and mother that it'll be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. See, if you've got a lot of kids, how much you want to bet that the Duggars, the kids, the workload it's going to be on the kids to take care of their parents is going to be significantly smaller per person because they're sharing it 18 ways. Whew! That's something to think about. You're listening to what may seem to you complete insanity, and that's because America is suffering from a pandemic of dementia right now, and some of the things that I say are rational and biblical and constitutional and right seem to be abnormal and weird and intangible to some, and that's a scary thing. So that's what we're coming here on Liberty Works Radio Network, to give you this kind of a perspective. You're not going to get it in public school. You're not going to get it in college. You're not going to get it in fact, you might not get it in church these days. I find many, many people don't really know the Bible. My kids went to a Christian college. Guess what? They were cutting edge, man. So my daughter, my son, and this girl that you know, was in the homeschool group with my daughter, the ones who are like the subject matter experts on the Bible, and they're freshmen. They were freshmen. What's up with that? We've lost it, folks. So we're going to get back to these issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis right versus wrong. Keep tuning in to Liberty Works Radio Network, The Eagle 104.3 FM. Our number here is 888-850-1872.